Welcome to Wines We Drink, a podcast for wine lovers and learners. I'm Charlotte Norsworthy Varnum, and together with my counterpart Keith Herndon, we'll be exploring a new wine each week. Keith is a lover of wine, and I am a learner of wine, and we hope that you'll continue learning and sipping along with us. Welcome, everyone, to Wines We Drink, a podcast where we drink excellent wine and talk about it. I'm Charlotte Norsworthy Varnum, and with me today, as always, is my co-host Keith Herndon, a certified wine sommelier.
Thank you, Charlotte. It's always a treat to drink wine with you, and we're doing that again today at our home away from home for Wines We Drink, the Tapped Athens Wine Tasting Market. You know, we started the season here with our first three episodes, and we're ending the season here with our last three episodes, including today's conclusion. So I must say, Charlotte, I'm kind of in a bittersweet mood.
I know. I feel the same way. And, you know, all good things come to an end. And that is true of season three of Wines We Drink today. So I'm right there with you. I have a tinge of sadness, but it's only a tinge because we still have this last show to drink another fabulous wine, so I'm still kind of excited.
Okay, so right you are, you know, but before we drink some wine today, let's give our another gigantic thank you to our friends, Todd and Angela Hurt, the TAP proprietors. They have welcomed us this season with open arms for the six episodes that we've recorded here, and we couldn't have a better location for bringing season three to a close.
I totally agree, and, you know, we've said this really often on this show. Tapped has the vibe that every wine bar should have. It's a great place to enjoy wine and the friendship that comes from sharing and talking about it and meeting new people. What are you drinking? What are you having? You know, speaking of drinking and talking about wine, we've done a lot of that this season. And if you've missed any of our shows from this season or from seasons one and two, they're still available for you on the major podcast platforms all across. And if you find our episode guides organized by season, those are located at wineswedrink.com. So now it's time that we turn our attention to the plans for today. Listeners, we'll try to hold our emotions in check today as we get through this season's last show. Keith, I'm counting on you to get me through this with a fantastic wine. What are we drinking today?
Well, you know, Charlotte, we're going to be traveling below the equator again this week to drink an exceptional Cabernet Franc from Argentina. As we explore this wine, it will become clear why this is a fantastic wine to bring a fantastic season to a conclusion.
Well, I was expecting nothing less from you than a top selection to bring us home. So tell us more about this selection today.
Well, as I confessed last week in setting up today's episode, you know, Todd confessed his favorite wine, so I think I felt like I had to do the same thing, right? So I confess that my favorite wine is Cabernet Franc. It has become my favorite red varietal. So let's get started today with some background on the Cabernet Franc varietal itself before we get into this specific bottle, right? This varietal has been a wine mainstay for centuries. Like many of the most popular wine varietals, France is its ancestral home. And interestingly, you know, thanks to genetic science, we now understand that Cabernet Franc is the parent grape to Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Carmenere.
Oh man, so there's a family tree happening here. Wine lovers owe a lot to Cabernet Franc then.
You know, absolutely. And it's also fascinating how it's now coming into its own as a sought-after varietal. You know, we talked earlier in the season about the exploding popularity of Sauvignon Blanc. Well, the same can be said for Cabernet Franc. Consumers are discovering this varietal and loving it. There are several data points that bear this out. In California, for example, the price of a ton of Cabernet Franc grapes surged past $10,000 a ton last year. That was up 12% from the previous year. By comparison, a ton cost $4,200 back in 2007.
Wow.
And these increasing prices are encouraging wine growers to plant more. The acreage is still small compared to other varietals, but vineyards are adding new vines all over the world. In Argentina, for example, where today's selection is from, a wine marketing group said plantings there have grown 115% over the last decade.
Wow. So another varietal is expanding its popularity. Why is this happening with Cabernet Franc?
Well, as we talked about earlier in the season, you know, in the sherry episode, for example, consumers are taking a look at things that have been around for a while and making them new. As consumers experiment with different grape varietals and wine styles, they discover Cabernet Franc as this aromatic wine. It's very versatile in pairing. It works really well with a wide range of foods, and consumers like that.
Well, I can see why. I mean, I've learned from all the great pairings that we've shared on Wines We Drink, the food-wine combination is certainly important, so I underscore that sentiment.
Yeah, well, so absolutely, again, you know, the food is important, but so is the weather. You know, you'll recall that we opened this third season with a series of wines that we described as summer wines, mm-hmm. right? Those acidly refreshing wines, you know, perfect for the summer patio. Well, as we bring this season to a close here in mid-August, fall is right around the corner, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'd like to present Cabernet Franc as a transitional wine to carry us into the fall.
Okay, well, that's an interesting way to think about wine, almost like transitional fashion, transitional wine.
Yes, but I'm not claiming this observation as my own, okay? The Wall Street Journal's fantastic wine writer, Letty T., had an article a few years ago where the headline stated, quote, "Light and lithe, yet sufficiently substantial, Cabernet Franc is the only wine you need to take you through this transitional season," end quote. You know, later in the article, she said winemakers use words like elegant, finesse, and charming to describe this wine's character. And then she quoted one who said, quote, "It smells like fall," end quote.
Yeah.
You know, that did it for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it was spot on. The aromas of a great cab, you know, take me to a forest in transition. It's earthy and leafy, and then a sip provides just enough spicy warmth, I'll say, to ward off those October chills.
Ooh, once again, you've painted a picture for us, and I'm already really gearing up for those fall vibes, and it seems like this one would fit the bill. And, you know, between Letty's words and yours, that's got me really excited.
Well, you know, I attribute a Letty's column with kickstarting my Cabernet Franc journey, actually, you know. But it was Todd Hurt, the proprietor here at TAP, that introduced me to today's specific bottle. You know, he knew I was a fan of Cab Franc, and when he offered me a taste of this one, he didn't say anything until he saw this big smile cross my face, and in his understated way, he simply said, "Thought you'd like it."
That's very apt, it sounds like. I'm ready for a Todd Hurt recommendation, though. So what are we drinking today?
This is a 2019 vintage from Argentina's El Enemigo Winery. It's a joint operation of Alejandro Vigil and Adriana Catena, who is the daughter of the Argentina wine legend Nicolas Catena. She brings four generations of family winemaking to this venture, and it's all on display in this wonderful bottle of wine.
Mmm, what amazing context. And you know, you've had this in front of me in the decanter tempting me from the beginning of the show, so I'm ready for you to pour.
Okay, let me get some wine in our glasses here. Yes.
Wine is so elegant coming out of a decanter, I must say.
And I'll explain once again for any of our new listeners about my decanting philosophy. I think most red wines can benefit from some time outside of the bottle before drinking. You know, in my research around this bottle today, the recommendations for about a half an hour, which is what I've had it in the decanter for, you know, that's plenty of time for this wine to open up a bit.
I've been eyeing this wine, you know, as we've been chatting here, and thinking about how to describe its color so that I, you know, sound as prepared as possible. But I really keep going back to what this color feels like for me, which is just this deep ruby red. And in the glass, it just looks simply regal.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go with that. Regal red.
Okay. Well, regal red is the color we've decided on. And it has primed my senses here. So I guess we're ready to sniff.
Yeah, go in for that first smell. You know, Cab Franc tends to be aromatic wines, and this one certainly is. So, you know, have that first sniff and then tell me what your nose is telling you mm-hmm. about this.
You know, for me, there are several aromas coming to the forefront, coming to the stage. They're all kind of competing with one another. So let me go in here again.
Yeah, sure. Take it in deeply, you know.
A big sniff. There's red fruit for sure, cherry, raspberry, but I also get, you know, black pepper and spice, and all of that is kind of wrapped up in what you were describing earlier, something that's earthy, leafy, grounded.
Yeah, your nose is working great today, Charlotte. I mean, those aromas are a lot to take in, but they define this wine so well, right? You know, so let's see if your tongue is keeping up with your nose today. So go in for those first sips.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll join you.
Oh, interesting. The first thing I'm noticing is that those red fruits are very much still with me here. There's a nice fruity sensation. This is a nice fruity wine. It's not over the top. It's rich. It's cherry. It's condensed. I'll have another one.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to join you again. Mm-hmm. All right. This is a delicious wine.
Yeah. I mean, wow. Not only are those red fruits still here, but that black pepper is just kind of faintly biting your tongue. It's interesting how those aromas are also definitely there in the taste, because sometimes that's not always the case.
Yeah, I would just say that today your tongue and nose are working in sync, right? That's what I love so much about this bottle of wine. It delivers with intense aromas, and then those aromas carry over on the tongue, but in a restrained way that's not over the top, as you said. You know, then it finishes long and nicely. You know, there's some tobacco notes and some herbal notes, and especially for me, there is that hint of bell pepper that you want to find in a really wonderful Cabernet Franc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would add that this is a more acidic wine than I was expecting. I mean, it kind of gets your mouth watering a little bit.
You know, you're spot on with those observations, Charlotte. When you look at the tasting graph for this wine on the Vivino app, you know, you'll see the bar indicating soft to acid almost all the way to the right, indicating a really acidic wine. And I think that it adds to this overall appeal, because this mouthwatering effect you get balances out the tannins a bit. You know, it's a dry wine, a tannic wine without being astringent.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that.
You know, one thing to note about this 2019 vintage, you know, although it qualifies as Cabernet Franc and it's labeled as such, it really is a blend, kind of like the wine that we had last week. Mm-hmm. You know, there is 10% Malbec in this bottle. You know, we are drinking an Argentinian wine after all, you know, and they do love their Malbecs there, you know. But this little touch of Malbec, it doesn't distract you from the Cab Franc at all. You know, that touch of Malbec enhances those pepper notes that's so prominent there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a great detail for our listeners. I would say that the pepper is really present, and it kind of just incorporates with that jamminess of the red really, really well. And as I've learned from our show, you know, a varietal label doesn't always mean it's 100%.
No, that's correct. You know, labeling laws vary by country and even by regions within countries. In some cases, all it takes is 75% to be labeled as a specific varietal. So listeners, you know, I just encourage everybody to do a little homework, make sure you understand what's in the bottle you're drinking, and that research and those, you know, tasting lots of different ones, it'll just expand your wine horizons.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot of nuance lurking there in the wine notes. So right. Turning back to this specific bottle, I've got a question about the winery's name, El Enemigo. My Spanish is a bit limited, but doesn't that translate to the enemy? What's up with that?
You know, that's a great question, you know, and I love it when we talk about labels. You know, the answer to this question appeals to my inner philosopher.
Okay.
You know, on the label and on the website is a version of this quote. At the end of the journey, we remember only one battle, the one we fought against ourselves, the original enemy, the one that defined us.
Hmm.
Wow.
Right. Deep, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, Adriana Catena explained its meaning in an interview with the trade publication, The Bordeaux Index. She's a historian by training, and she said that the name came to her when she was working on her doctoral dissertation. And I know from personal experience that working on a doctoral dissertation can be a dark experience, right? The name, she said, is about, quote, finding the resilience to seize the day. And that's really the enemy, right? The enemy is yourself, and that is part of the struggle. You have to continuously overcome the you that wants to leave things for tomorrow. You know, that's really an interesting comment. And she added, quote, "The name of the wine really takes its inspiration from that, the enemy within."
Wow.
End quote.
I would say that's one of the deeper storylines that we've had on this show in terms of, you know, the story behind the wine. And it kind of speaks to a universal truth that we've all experienced at some point. It's kind of inspirational, too.
Yes, you know, but I think the winemakers say that philosophy, you know, they adopted that philosophy and they've kept it there, you know, for the years because they say it pays homage to their ancestors who settled in Argentina centuries ago and they needed that personal resilience just to simply to survive.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. So to turn back to the wine itself then, before I get too emotional, it's our last show of the season after all.
You know, let's that's a great idea. Let's talk about some pairings. How about that, right?
Okay, that'll boost my spirits.
Yeah, that'll get us back to the wine, right? So today we're pairing today's wine with a really wonderful foods that I think accommodate the fall transitional season, right? Mm-hmm. That we've talked about, right? And what do I associate with fall, Charlotte?
Oh gosh, you know, that's an easy one. I know you way too well. It's football.
Right. Well, and what do we do in this part of the world to prepare for a game?
We tailgate.
Absolutely. And I'm going to suggest this wine as a great complement to some smoky tailgate barbecue, pork, beef, or even chicken.
Okay.
A smoky barbecued meat will pair up nicely with the earthiness of this wine and the spiciness of this wine. And the folks at Wine Folly explain how the higher acidity in this red wine also complements those vinegar-based sauces that so many of us like with our smoky meat.
That sounds like a great combo. So count me in for your tailgate if all of that's on the menu.
Well, it will be. You know, and if you need to entertain your tailgaters with a cheese plate before that barbecue feast, right, this Cab Franc is versatile. I'm going to suggest going with a goat's milk or a sheep's milk cheese. You know, my go-to for this wine would be a Spanish Manchego. You know, that's a sheep's milk cheese that has a relatively high fat content that's going to work great with the acid in this wine. And a Manchego has some vegetal grassy notes and it's nutty and tangy. And that complements this wine's flavor really, really well. So to prove my point, I've placed some slices of Manchego on a plate for you. So give that a try and have some sips of our El Enemigo today.
Don't mind if I do. I do love this kind of cheese, so I'm excited. Okay.
And I'm joining you in a bite here also, right?
As you should. Wow. Oh my goodness. That is working beautifully. The acidity in the wine cuts through the fat in the cheese, creates this overall smooth mouthfeel, some buttery, some tangy. It's all amplified and it's all delicious.
Right. You know, and the alcohol by volume on this wine is only 13.5%, which is even lower than the Shiraz we drank last week. You know, so that also makes this a good choice for a tailgate wine, right?
Yeah.
So have another bite of this cheese, right? And I just think that we need to relish the flavors here. This is our last show of the season, right?
After all, yes. Therefore, we must reminisce. I mean, I do think that it's so interesting how cheese in general as a pairing has so much complexity to it, too, that complements always the complexity of wines. So it's a natural fit, right? Wine and cheese.
Right. Well, you know, first of all, a lot of wines have some acid and a lot of cheese has fat.
So naturally
that fat and cheese is going to work together. So then what you want to do beyond that is to try to find those flavor profiles that work together so well.
Right.
And if you go back through our seasons, you know, we've offered some suggestions for, you know, cheese pairings and we try to match that flavor profile with the wine we're drinking.
Right, absolutely. And it's kind of shown throughout the season that you can pair what like with like and that comes across really well. But you can also think of the concept of opposites attract. So
absolutely.
Acidity and fattiness, those things will complement really nicely. So you really can't go wrong, it seems like.
No, one of the opposites that, you know, that I would mention for people that might be interested in that is that idea of a sweet wine.
Mm-hmm.
have a port and some blue cheese.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Very much opposites.
Right.
So, you know, you were talking about tailgating earlier, and my tailgates really aren't typically a fancy affair. So is this an affordable selection to pair up with barbecue at a football game?
At the time of this recording, the Vivino app listed the national average price at $29. But if you're buying for a party and can take advantage of a half case or case discounts, you can easily get this down to $25 in some areas. So I think this is an excellent price for a wine of this quality. Charlotte, we're ending the season with a wine the Vivino app ranks among the top 1% of wines in the world. Great price, incredible quality.
Wow, that's amazing. Another wine under $30. It's at the top 1%er. You've really brought your A-game this season in the conclusion here. So speaking of conclusions, we're already at time for our break. And when we come back, we'll be featuring a segment of the show we call The Finish. So I guess we can say that today's finish is really the finish for the whole season. We'll be back in a moment, but for now, it's time for me to continue munching on this Manchego with this Cab Franc. Welcome back, everyone, to Wines We Drink. This is the portion of the show we call The Finish. Today, Keith, this is really the finish. It's the end of season 3. And what a season it's been. We've enjoyed so many great wines together this summer. Summer whites, a special rosé, some luscious reds, and I even got a sherry lesson.
Yes, we have had a wonderful summer together, and I appreciate the enthusiasm you bring to the show once again. You know, it's easy to get excited about drinking wine and talking about wine each week, but it's extra easy when I get to do it with a fabulous co-host.
Well, shucks. The feeling is certainly mutual. So what do you have in store for today's finale finish?
Well, it's going to be a short finish, and I'm planning to keep it simple. We're concluding 3 seasons, 36 shows. That's 3 cases of episodes in keeping with our wine vernacular. So let's wrap this up with a question to you. What has been your biggest takeaway from the wine journey you've been on with me through these 3 seasons? In other words, what's the biggest thing you've learned from our 3 seasons together?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't really know what to expect when we first launched this thing 3 summers ago, especially just because I felt really intimidated. I didn't know a lot about wine. I didn't feel comfortable about my own wine taste. But this whole process has been such a great learning experience. I think my answer is probably pretty straightforward. I've learned that to enjoy wine means to be willing to experiment, to taste and experience all kinds of wines, different varietals, different countries, different regions within those countries. Coming into this show, I had a fairly narrow set of wines that I would drink, I'll be honest. Now, not so much. This experience has really opened my mind to an entire world of wine. That wine list in a restaurant, bring it on. I'm willing to try a little bit of everything. Those aisles in a wine shop, let's do it. We can select something together. I feel more equipped, in other words.
You know, Charlotte, that was really an awesome response. You know, there is a quote attributed to Ernest Hemingway that goes like this, quote, "My only regret in life is that I didn't drink more wine,"
aww,
end quote. You know, I don't intend to have that regret when my time is up.
Right.
So now, Charlotte, I so certainly don't expect you to like everything you try, right? You know, that's part of the journey. Like anything in life, there will be some clunkers along the way, but don't let those deter you from learning by sipping.
Not a chance. I mean, I'm now invested, so thank you for being our wonderful tour guide this season and for showing us that there are so many different ways to explore and enjoy and to tell stories and learn stories. And thanks to you, our listeners, for finding us among all of the podcast clutter out there, allowing us to be a small part of your week this summer.
Well, Charlotte, you know, I think that's it. That's the finish for episode 12, season 3.
That's a wrap. Wow. Thanks again, everyone.
Yes, thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Wines We Drink. Listen to our other episodes anywhere you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on Twitter @WinesWeDrink and on Instagram @TheWinesWeDrink. Cheers.